There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin talks to Chris Johnson, Content Director of Performance in .com, about performance marketing, all coming up in Internet Marketing.
Chris, performance marketing, kind of quite a big topic, quite a diverse topic, kind of a bit of a history kind of being known more as kind of affiliate marketing. Can you kind of just give us, I suppose, the real crash course in what is performance marketing, what it entails, and kind of why it's so popular?
Yeah, sure, Kelvin. Well, performance marketing has evolved quite considerably. I mean, it's still a relatively new industry in comparison to your many other wider sort of digital channels. And affiliate marketing grew around about 96, 97 when it just really took off. I think Amazon Affiliates was one of the first programs. And what happened was, at a time when Google was still quite easy to get on with and to be listed and all those sorts of things. So traffic was quite popular. Google took off. And affiliate marketing was born in the idea of you had a website, you had content on it, or you were doing search or similar. And when you put through a traffic to a retailer and made a purchase, they would the retailer would then use a third party in order to pay you some commission on that sale. So the general basics of it is performance-based marketing, we call it now, where it's a case of you have to perform, you have to do a certain thing in order to be paid or commissioned in that level. So that's kind of performance marketing at its basic level.
And I mean, some of the kind of biggest online brands kind of come from a performance marketing background, even if people aren't necessarily kind of familiar with kind of affiliates and performance marketing. Some of the biggest kind of retailers, particularly in the UK, but I suppose also in the States, are kind of, you know, monetized through affiliate marketing to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, they all, at different stages of, you know, the cycle in the last 14, 15 years, they've all come on board at different times. But we're seeing now that the big brands are really taking on the idea that performance-based marketing is actually very complementary to your ROI and, you know, to your marketing efforts. And we're seeing more and more brands come every day. You've got the top blue chip companies in the UK. You've got sort of the 500 Inc. companies in the US. You know, there's a good percentage, a very good percentage of them that are with performance programs already, and I don't see any reason why that was going to slow down either.
And so the ecosystem then, Chris, is kind of, you know, who are the, you know, in a kind of a, I suppose, a typical performance marketing relationship, who are the kind of key people and kind of what do they do within those kind of roles?
Yeah, so we always discuss it in sort of a four or five-fold arena. You've got publishers or affiliates, as we're kind of, they're sort of not being renamed, but it's just affiliates are starting to offer so much more than just, you know, an acquisition model. So They're kind of being known a bit more in the publisher realm. So you've got your publishers, your advertisers, your brands. Then you have the third parties, whether that be a network, affiliate network, or as is today, there are some third-party solutions as well, which allow advertisers to either run these programs in-house themselves or, like I say, run through a network. And then you've also got agencies as well who will either run the programs on advertisers' behalf. They could also run in-house programs, and they could also work quite well with networks. So there's your four. And then you've got other third parties in terms of whether you've got product feed plugins and those sorts of things. So you've kind of got those five. And it has all been working in it's kind of an ecosystem in that it's quite a, the industry is quite adoptive of technology. So if new technologies come along, I mean, we're looking at mobile, like as is everyone else, but adapting to, you know, an agile consumer, a consumer that moves across different devices, using third parties in order to track them across that. Because the ultimate goal is that as a publisher, you're going to want to be rewarded for the sale that you generate or for the value that you add for that advertiser. And those third parties help to track that solution.
And I mean, I suppose historically the kind of performance marketers have often been used by brands because of that agility. Is that kind of seeming to be the case with mobile as well? Because I think sometimes the reasons that affiliates have been able to do so well is because they're, you know, so quick to adapt to new technology, potentially quicker than the brand, so they can deliver traffic from sources, be it perhaps in the past paid search, display, social advertising, and now indeed mobile, kind of that little bit quicker than sometimes internally brands can, or at least in a different way to perhaps brands could.
Yeah, I mean, publishers or affiliates have always been sort of the real entrepreneurs. It was a very much entrepreneurial industry. In order to get started, there was an opportunity to make money and to build a brand out of a new industry. And they really took that on board and then innovated within. And it does tend to be that third parties will be created to support what publishers are trying to do. The same with networks. You know, everyone in this industry tends to evolve around the publisher more often than not. There's a few times when that won't be the case, but generally the industry evolves because these publishers are so entrepreneurial and are, you know, creating new exciting ideas. And that's where mobile naturally fits, and also things like data harnessing and personalization, and we're finding that they're just getting so much more smarter with what they're doing now. So they've always been doing it. Now it's just a case of sort of tighten it and really drilling down into little changes that make big differences.
And you know, so you kind of within the, you know, these networks, what are, you know, kind of potentially, because I suppose we've got two different audiences on the podcast here. We've potentially got people who could be selling their products or services and use the affiliate channel to generate more business for them, but we've also got people potentially who publishers who could be monetizing their website through these kind of commissions. For those two different groups, kind of and the agency typically sitting within them, or the network sitting between them, and if they don't have a network, having a solution that to a certain extent mimics a network, what's the kind of things that the brand should be looking for in that kind of network and the publishers be looking for from a network?
Well, I think there's a big range of you know, a certain amount of networks, and they offer different you know, different USPs, I suppose. So you've got some networks that will focus on SME traffic, networks that are, you know, across Europe as well, some that focus on emerging markets as opposed to the, you know, the seasoned markets. So there's a big difference in terms of where to look, I suppose, and which networks to choose with. You might find that if you're an advertiser, some, and you're looking to start a program, some networks, you might go dual network and go on one or more with different goals for each one. You then automatically, you might then decide that you want to go in-house and take your program, manage it in-house entirely and save on commissions. Obviously, there's license fees and stuff associated with that. And that's, I guess, where the agencies and you know, the affiliate manager role comes in, because if you know, if you're not sure about it and you want some advice, then that's where these outsourced programs managers come into play, and they can help you to decipher what you really want out of the program and how much, you know, budget you're supposed to put behind it, and, you know, certain trials and different commissioning methods, because there's so many different types of publishers that you can work with. You can work with content-based publishers, you can work with you know, the voucher codes, the cashback websites that drive, you know, the real big revenue. But then if you work with the content publishers, you can also gain additional value from a really, you know, informed consumer when they come to your website and those sorts of things. So actually there's a real offering. It's just a case of utilizing, you know, this ecosystem as we talked about to full extent.
And that affiliate manager, that's a tricky role to kind of fulfill, isn't it? Is there any kind of things particularly that, you know, the people who, because I think for many listeners, that'd be a role that they'd be able to do very well. What's the kind of things that makes for a good affiliate manager?
I think to be able to spot the opportunities, to know what works, what doesn't, just have to spend less time, you know, not wasting budget, but in terms of testing budget, I suppose, in terms of working out what's going to work, what isn't. Ultimately, you know, it's paid on a performance basis, so going to affiliate managers and you know, people who have a data resource, who have other programs that they're working with, they're going to be able to understand what demographic you're coming from as a business, to understand whether they've got any other clients that they work with or anyone else that they know that promotes your type of business well. We'll then seek to work with them more closely, and then that, I think, is why affiliate managers, you know, still to this day are doing well in the industry.
Cool. And I mean, I know that, you know, so to kind of, I suppose, set the scene for you, Chris, you were kind of involved with Affiliates4U, which hosts the A4U events. And then recently you've kind of rebranded to Performance Inn, and you have the event in the States that's branded as Performance Marketing. What's the big difference between the UK market and the US market in terms of kind of how the performance marketing space tends to operate?
Sure. I mean, it's a good question that we've, since we launched our first one in March, it's been... we've always had our sort of our toes in the water over in the US, but it's the case of when deciding to launch over there, there's a few things that we found that were really important for us to talk about during the agendas. And that was, one was definitely around regulation, which is one of the, probably, I talk about it a lot, but it's not something that, it's not the be all and end all with the US. It's just that in the UK and Europe, we've got things like the IAB, Affiliate Marketing Council, which, you know, 14 years or 10 years ago, they managed to agree for the top 14 networks, I think, in the UK to actually become a self-regulated industry. Mm-hmm. And because of that, now we can enforce things in the UK and Europe that we couldn't necessarily, that you can't really do in the US at this moment in time. So things like voucher code, code of conducts, and all about how you promote a code and give the user extra value and those sorts of things. So the US is, they have the Performance Marketing Association, and they're trying to regulate with that. Other than that, I mean, I wouldn't say they were too far behind in terms of, the general industry. I mean, mobile, I'm seeing some probably really better mobile apps coming out of the US, which are publisher focused. We're seeing a lot of American based publishers wanting to launch actually in the UK and Europe. So we're at a stage, I think, where expansion is kind of a big word for the industry now. And then whether you're looking to go across from UK to the US or the other way around, and then European audience as well, because you've got such a different level of market knowledges to take advantage of. And I think that's one reason that we're going to see a big sort of drive in performance over this next couple of years, is because there's so much opportunity. And then you can talk about things like Asia, and you can talk about Australia, and you can talk about all these other markets that are really starting to take off as well.
And, you know, to what extent, because I think that, you know, in many other marketing disciplines, this whole idea of kind of being able to justify kind of a cost per acquisition or a genuine return on investment, it's really kind of, you know, kind of for myself, kind of coming perhaps from, you know, one foot in that world and a little bit in the kind of performance marketing world, it's like, you know, a lot of people within our space would love to have the kind of transparency of effectiveness that, you know, the affiliate marketing world has. To what extent do you kind of see stuff like, you know, performance display and social media advertising, which certainly seems to be experimenting with a cost per acquisition or a cost per sale kind of model of costing of their advertising? Is that something that kind of is quite different in terms of to the kind of conventional performance marketing world?
Well, I think how do you define conventional, I suppose, is kind of the answer, because it's such a, like I say, we rebranded about a month ago because it's something that is not just acquisition focused anymore. So we're actually performance-based marketing. You could be looking at, yes, social media and display and search and social email, but actually you're not just being paid on a cost per acquisition. It actually could be cost CPX modeling to a certain extent. It could be cost per like, cost per share. You might have a big fan page on Facebook, which your brand, and you're promoting an offer from, I don't know, Pizza Express or something, and then they're downloading the voucher, one of your users, or they're liking that particular offer, and you're getting paid on the cost per like basis. You know, these are things that are not commonplace at the moment, but we know they're in development and people have launched new things on that. So whether it's cost per like, share, review, all those sorts of things, that becomes then performance-based, because you are really moving not just acquisition-based, but performance. And that's where the videos, cost per views, cost per downloads, cost per installs, I think it becomes, you know, scalable quite quickly when you think about it. And I think that's the important thing there.
Yeah, but with that though, that must mean the kind of everything should be headed in that direction. Is there any kind of reason why that would, you know, potentially take a little while, or why it's perhaps taking a little bit longer? Is it because too many marketing methods aren't quite as effective as they'd like to make believe, make out they are?
Well, I think that's still to be decided. I mean, we're seeing a lot more case studies. What we're seeing at the moment is you know, customer journey focused. And I think the fact that you can take online, offline now to a certain level, you've got your mobile, you've got your agile consumers, you've got sort of a marketing model which is kind of converging into one almost, which and I think that's why we're seeing these new ways of remunerating people, is because there's a new way to market to consumers, and also there's ultimately going to be new ways to, you know, to commission people on that as well. So yeah, it's definitely an interesting time, and I think it's not something that's been, it's taken a while to get to the stage of where we're at as an industry, but it's I think it's just more people are opening their eyes to the fact that, you know, it's definitely a good investment, you know, to have, you know, play a part of performance.
And I know many people kind of listening to this podcast will perhaps have little side projects or little businesses they're working on the side that's kind of monetized in a kind of performance way, potentially affiliate marketing. Any kind of advice to that kind of hobbyist affiliate to kind of, you know, there is this kind of very serious and burgeoning world of kind of more serious corporate affiliate marketing. Any kind of trickle down advice from those bigger brands that would be useful to kind of someone who's maybe got a little hobby website that they monetize through the odd kind of affiliate link?
I think if you've got a hobby and you've got a good affiliate website, I think you're in a very good place, because like you say, write about what you know, and always if you're passionate enough about it, then what you're writing and how you're writing about it, you know, should add value to anyone that visits your website. And ultimately then, if you can, you know, then look at your visitors and then start drilling down a little bit into your traffic sources and then how to monetize, then I think, you know, you stand yourself in good stead. But I think generically anyone that's from big brands or big publishers down to, you know, your smaller publishers, it's always a case of add value. That's the big difference, I think, in this day and age. You need to add value in order to be successful, in order to differentiate yourself, you know, and to be a more of a shopping, you know, the start of a customer journey, as opposed to, you know, trying to fight your way into it, you know, further down the line. So I think that's probably the biggest tip really for new and, you know, hobbyist bloggers.
Fantastic. No, that's really, really interesting, Chris. And I know that kind of, you know, as performance in, you've got kind of quite a lot of events and, you know, white papers and stuff planned over the next couple of months. Anything in particular that you're looking forward to that our listeners ought to kind of keep an eye open for?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we've recently rebranded. So check out performanceinc.com, which is our rebrand of Affiliates for You, which has been a long time coming. So we cover, you know, news, performance marketing news across the 7 or 8 different channels that we call them. And then also we've got AFU Expo Europe, which is in Amsterdam on July 2nd and 3rd. And it's a 2-day conference, which is a content-led conference. So we have conference and exhibition and 2 parties. You're usually a seasoned speaker as well, Kelvin, so you know what it's about. But yeah, it's definitely one to attend. So if you're interested, check out afuexpo.com/Europe.
Definitely. I can't recommend them enough. I mean, in terms of kind of as a, you know, what I really like about the A4U Expos, without blowing Chris's trumpet too much here, is that like what it kind of cuts really to the chase within the different specialisms. So kind of the search track within A4U is, you know, one of the best search tracks, even compared to some of the specialist search conferences, and the same for paid search, the same for kind of measurement and all that side of things as well. So I always find that quite good, and always good keynotes as well. I remember seeing Rory Sutherland a little while back, which is probably one of my favorite keynotes I've seen anywhere ever. So yeah, definitely worth recommending on that side of things.
I think you get a different, you know, you get a different range of attendees to one of our events, which, you know, like you say, if it's search, it's not just search people. You're going to find content bloggers, you're going to find email specialists, you're going to find mobile specialists, but they're all, you know, they're all there to attend to network and meet new business, at the same time trying to understand, you know, where we're at as an industry at the moment and how they can play a bigger part in it. So it's actually quite a good stage for 2 days to come along. And yeah,
and the parties in Amsterdam, I can imagine, might be quite fun to organize as well.
We haven't announced it yet, but it's going to be we have two, and the main one is in a very, very cool location, but it's to be confirmed shortly.
Fantastic. Cool. Well, thanks very much for that, Chris. Really appreciate that. Hopefully that gave everyone a real kind of good insight into the world of performance marketing and you know, which many of us all know as affiliates, but as Chris suggested, really seeming to head in an exciting and new direction based upon performance. Really enjoyed that, Chris. Thanks very much.
No worries, Kelvin. Cheers.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.